13 Questions by Man Transcending. Manhood in the Digital Age.
Welcome back to 13 Questions. I'd like to apologize for the delay in getting this podcast out to you. As many of you may know, we went to CAC. That included Darren, Graham, and myself. That is Contact at the Cabin, a yearly meeting of Grimerica listeners. And this year we went. While I was gone, I had also lined up a job to start when I came back. Unfortunately, when I came back, I found out that it was kind of a scammy job and disappeared overnight. So I had to light a fire underneath my own butt, and I now am employed and have a job, and the podcast is back on track to being able to come out to you in a regular fashion. So thank you guys for sticking with us. Tonight, one of my favorite 13 questions that we've done, Darren Graham and myself met the Allen Brothers out at Contact at the Cabin. You may also know them as the Brothers of the Serpent. They have a podcast by the same name. They explore ancient mysteries, ancient civilizations, and the modern world. Really cool guys. Got to go and go to the Sun Temple with them, go hiking down the Petroglyph Trail, and really got to know these guys. And you can hear it in the interview. It was a lot of fun. I was really excited about doing this one and a little nervous. We decided to do this one with Kyle and Russ at the same time instead of doing it separately. And I'm really glad that we did. You know, it's crazy to think that the bonus was so good considering that, I don't know, when you hear it, you'll understand, but these boys have been through a lot together and have learned and taught each other a lot. And I certainly learned a lot from listening to it. And anyways, I've said it's already one of my favorites. So thank you guys for listening. If you guys want to know more about the Serpent Brothers, Kyle and Russ Allen, you can go on over to their website, brothersoftheserpent.com. And if you guys would like to hear the rest of the guests that we have on this show, the 24 previous before, you can go ahead and go over to 13questionspodcast.com. You can also subscribe and become a member. With that, you're going to get access to the bonus questions coming up after the ones that you hear, unless you're a member, in which case it's already in your special own private feed that's going to get sent to you once you sign up. And boom, don't have to download two podcasts all in one spot. And you also get access to the website, which is going to give prompted writing courses if you'd like to sign up for them, self-help journaling. Then you also have some community forums. There's $200 in communications courses there by TJ Walker that he's offered for us to use. Really phenomenal. Communication is something that everybody needs. You also get the ability to create your own podcast. If you want to record grandpa or, you know, somebody that you want to hear their answers to these questions because you know it's going to enrich you in some way, then, you know, I want to hear them too. So becoming a member also gives you the ability to do that. And if you need help with trying to get your audio set up, we can give you pointers with that as well. Thank you guys so much for continuing to listen to us, to sticking with us. If you'd like to hear more, like I said, 13questionspodcast.com. Sign up, become a member. Thank you so much.
Tap the Rockies.
All right, you guys ready?
We're ready.
All right, so today on 13 Questions, we have Kyle and Russ Allen.
That's right.
What's up? I'm Russ.
I'm Kyle. How's it going?
Yep, going to be joining us. They've got a podcast, Brothers of the Serpent.
That's right.
And they're here to answer the 13 questions. So, you guys ready?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Great.
Lay it on me.
All right, question number one. What was the best advice ever given to you, and would you modify it today?
You want to take that one?
No, I wouldn't modify it. And the best advice was actually from Russ, and that was essentially, you can't worry about what people think about you. You have to just be yourself. And like, for me, that was a big struggle, you know, wondering about what people thought and wanting people that I respected to respect me back and get in this loop of thinking things that my mind is totally making up that are not true, that they might be, you know, thinking negative things towards me. And, you know, since I was like 14, he's been telling me that. And it's so true. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I can reciprocate that. I think that the best advice I've gotten, and I wouldn't modify it either, came from Kyle. And it was about self-improvement. Because he was going through these things and he was developing this sort of system of self-improving himself. And I wasn't. I'm just playing video games and not self-improving at all. And Kyle was like, dude, you should try this. Like sit down and make a list of things that you suck at. And then attack them one at a time, like in a focused manner, you know. And he started telling me, he's like, we both have been terrible at scheduling and, you know, being places on time or whatever. And he was getting better and better at it while I was still terrible showing up 30 minutes late. And, and like, he was like, this is how you do it, you know, and just sit down and like make a big list and then attack it one thing at a time and just do this, like, and you feel better about yourself. And so I've started that process. I still am late all the time, but I've started that. I'm not on that one.
Still yet. On your
it's
list.
It's still down the list. Yeah. It's like number two. but yeah, so like that has been a fantastic thing, and I've been trying to do it. So,
is that a dynamic that you guys had a lot as kids?
Yes, I think so. Like, I always, this is not strictly true, but I always look at it this way. Like, he's left-handed, I'm right-handed, and so we just so there's this weird brain thing. We look at the world in this totally different way, but it's complementary, right? So one of the reasons we started our podcast is because I would come down to his house or whatever, because I've been researching some stuff, and I'd be like, dude, like pyramids, you know? And then he would, and then I would explain all this stuff to him, and then his insight into it would come from an angle that I just completely would just totally not expect, right? And so, and I would be like, oh my God, you know, cause I thought I was going to be blowing his mind, and then his response would blow my freaking mind. And it's just been that way our whole lives. So yeah. Yeah. I think that is a dynamic that we have. Like, we complement each other very well in that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Russ is the older brother. So, and more of a recluse, whereas I was like, you know, extroverted.
Yeah.
A little more. So he didn't, you know, that's why his advice to me, as coming from the older brother of, you know, not giving a fuck and just like sort of coaching me through that. And like, I still deal with it today, you know, but, I've been able to overcome a lot of that. And he's always a support for that. So it's just been, it's a good thing to do.
That's great. I'm glad we interviewed you guys together. This is,
yeah,
that's really cool.
All right.
All right.
Told you it was a good idea.
Now, let's see where this goes. What was the most important lesson you learned from your parents?
I think my dad was big on consideration of other people's everything, right? Like, one of the lesson I remember the most, him teaching me the most, was be considerate of everyone else around you, you know? So we live in a two-story house, and it was an old house, and it had tongue and groove floors, right? So when you wake up in the morning, you don't go stomping around your room and, you know, because people downstairs are still sleeping or whatever, you know, just those little kind of things. Be considerate. You go in here, you use somebody's stuff, clean it, put it back, you know, try to return it better than it was. You know, if I borrow your truck, when I give it back to you, it better not be fucking dirty. You know, it needs to be. And like that was hard for me, because I'm always thinking about pyramids or whatever, you know, my mind is on other things. So I'm like, yeah, I just leave stuff around. So being considerate, you know, so just sort of be aware of other people's everything. Just like, don't, you know, try to be considerate of other people's needs, desires, and, you know, don't wake them up unnecessarily and just that kind of thing. So I that was a big thing for me, was learning how to be considerate of other people.
Yeah. Similarly for me, it's the general idea of respect for other people.
Yeah.
And I would say specifically between the two of them, they're still together. They've been together all our lives.
Yeah.
And, so watching them go through problems, but solve them, you know, in a loving way.
Oh yeah. Good point.
Was huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, in terms of relationships, you know, I would always apply that to my friendships, you know, my romantic relationships, and obviously with my wife of 12 years, on May 20th, like, we've had a lot of problems, but we never give up. You always have to try to put yourself in the other person's shoes to respect their, you know, where they're coming from. And in a lot of cases, you might think, I'm totally right, you're totally wrong. But there's always room for improvement. You know, we're human. So even if you are right, maybe you dealt with it in a way that was, could have been better. So it's looking at yourself, being able to laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
Being honest about your mistakes and having respect for other people.
Do you think about this when you raise your kids? Like when you're handling your problems, how important it was to you that they're seeing that reflection?
Yeah. I only have one kid. He's 3 and a half. So it actually took me a while to realize that, you know, at 2 to 3 years old, he wasn't being disrespectful. There's just these larger concepts that are maybe not, he's not at the cognitive ability to really understand disrespect. That took me a while to
get. So he's not being disrespectful.
He's a child, right? You know, so like I have to learn that again, like I'm not right about this. You know, like I'm handling this wrong. And even, you know, it's kind of a weird thing going to a 3-year-old and saying, hey man, you know, the way I talked to you yesterday, you know, was not cool. Sorry.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, and I, you know, we got that from our parents. So just deal with it directly.
Yeah. They would do that. Dad would come up to me and just be like, hey, I really flipped out on you yesterday. I really apologize for that. But he would have to wait till he calmed down and then he would come and just apologize. And that was really cool. So learning to do that, you know, and it that surprises people sometimes. Like, you know, I'd get friends or whatever. And I'd be like, hey bro, I just was an asshole yesterday. I'm sorry about that. And they're like, you know, what? No, they're just not used to that. So yeah, I agree. That's something we learn from our parents for sure. I don't have kids. Sorry.
What book has been most influential on your life and why?
Ooh, do I have to name just one?
No, it's impossible.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had anybody that can do just that.
Right. So, right off the bat, I would say Fingerprints of the Gods. And then a lot of the Velikovsky stuff, Earth in Upheaval was enormous for me. The Sitchin stuff taught me, you know, I don't necessarily agree with everything Sitchin says, but his work showed me how you can look at these things that there's like a standard model explanation for from a totally different perspective and just work it out and say like, here's what I think happened. Mm-hmm. I don't care what all your academia stuff says. Here's what I think. Right. So those books like Fingerprints of the Gods, he did the same thing. Graham Hancock basically wrote a travelogue where he was going around looking at all this ancient stuff and just saying, well, what do I think? You know, looking at the scholars and what do they say? And then saying, well, that doesn't look right. And that's wrong. And this is wrong. And that can't be right. You know, so it taught me those books, those two, the Sitchin and Hancock taught me to look with my own eyes at ancient everything, ancient civilizations, ancient monuments, ancient carvings, ancient mythology. And Earth in Upheaval by Velikovsky showed me that the geology of the world is the story that the geology of the world tells is vastly different than this uniformitarian thing you get from standard model geology. So those are mine.
Game of Thrones. I'm joking. So that's really hard to narrow it down to one, but I would agree that Fingerprints of the Gods, that was in recent years, that's a major one.
Yeah.
You know, paradigm shifting. And it's obviously influenced a lot of the research that I want to do, the paths that I want to go down to, you know, paths of discovery. Reading ancient texts and all this kind of stuff, you know, looking for that possible lost civilization or the signs are, you know, on the earth of destruction, all that sort of stuff. In the past, however, I would say one of the most influential books was John Adams by,
oh yeah, that was a good one.
David McCullough. So John Adams was a founding father of the United States, and he journaled like prolifically. Okay. I mean, the guy was just journaled every day in detail. And also he copied every single letter that he sent anyone and every single letter that he received. So he had, I mean,
records
of all of the communication that he had between the other founding fathers at the time. And that book,
So all that stuff was compiled into a book, and it was,
it's amazing to see, and especially when you combine this with the study of ancient civilizations, okay? Because you see throughout all of known recorded history, the governments of the world were, you know, basically dictatorships, tyrannical governments. The vast population was under the control of the few. And this had been the state of affairs for as long as anyone knew. And this guy and his, you know, co-conspirators at the time were reading, you know, sort of banned books and other things like John Locke, Adam Smith was, you know, an economist at the time, free market economist. John Locke wrote the character, or no,
Adam Smith,
Natural Law.
Yeah, and Adam Smith wrote Wealth of Nations.
The Wealth of Nations, yeah. And Natural Law. So these guys were talking to each other about, well, you know, what should be, how should people really be able to live? And they did this thing successfully that there's no precedent for in all of recorded history, where they set up their own system, and it was designed in such a way to not be able to grow into the types of governments that have ruled the world for thousands of years. And it worked. Obviously, you know, it has problems, but that blew me away. You know, it was almost like, if you think about podcasts, like there's a group of people that are thinking about these other things and coming together and go ahead.
Well, I get it. No, it's like a tyrannical dictatorship, and a group of people come together and say, we're going to structure our ideas and our system so that can't happen.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do it. And then you recreate out of that, which is just your mind and how you connect to people, a better reality without dictatorship. Yeah. That's cool, because that means that, your little podcast that you've got with a few thousand listeners or whatever. Well, That's
I mean, that's more than what they had.
Right.
So this peasant farmer, right, is just like thinking about stuff. He's reading books.
He's talking about John Adams.
Yeah. Right. And then like some other farmers, some other peasants are like, hey, like, let's get together and we got problems here.
Yeah.
You know, and they devise this plan, and John Adams is key in convincing all of the, you know, higher ups of the 13 colonies to say, yeah, let's go for it. Declaration of Independence. And this is an amazing thing too, that the Declaration of Independence was a letter written to a king by a bunch of peasants. And they printed this thing, and you know, there was Benjamin Franklin, who had printing presses, and new printers, people with other printing presses in Europe and whatever. And so he gets this document printed in all these printing presses all over the world.
And then it was read.
And translated into a lot of different languages.
Yeah.
So at the same time that the page is bringing it to the king and reading it out loud to the king, who's probably flipping a lid at hearing these words, all over the world, in town squares everywhere, was also being read to gatherings.
Yeah. People were reading it out loud in town squares all over the world.
Wow, that's early morning or early information warfare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you get ahead of the game, and so they can't even try to obfuscate it.
Right.
Right.
That's out of the bag. That's
and
amazing.
So there was sort of like, when people heard that everyone should be equal, there were basically revolts all over the place. So
yeah,
that's one of the reasons why it succeeded here. You know, obviously the ocean was a problem for them too, but.
Well, yeah, so you're worrying about a lot of points.
Yeah.
You're no longer the big fish.
Exactly. Right. And so that just, you know, that really was formidable for me in the way I look at the world that we have now, this amazing situation that we have now that everybody's complaining about.
Yeah.
That's weird. You know, look at what you have. You know, that's kind of the way it made me feel.
Yeah. I could also name off real quick just two fictions. I love Moon is a Harsh Mistress and Starship Troopers by Robert Heinlein. Those two books, you know, the same deal, but he does this future history thing where he's able to like sort of set up a future civilization and then look back at our time.
Right.
And then talk about it from this other lens. And like anybody who's interested in that kind of stuff, check it out. He's got some, the way he sets those things up to look back at our time, you're just like, oh my God, why are we retarded?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What daily habits or rituals do you have? And do you recommend them for others?
Go to work. Bust your ass.
That's right.
That's one.
Yeah.
It's hard, but it feels great. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a satisfying thing to know that you were productive.
Yeah.
And for me, I have this tendency to fight that sort of lazy desire. You know, when I feel it, I'm just like, no, getting up, gonna go do something. Even if it's, I don't know, just fixing something around the house. So.
Well, because I was going to say, sit around and play video games. I recommend that to everyone. Well, no. So like all that he said, but then I also recommend the sitting around and playing video games. Like I have to come home and decompress, right? I get home, I say what's up to everybody. You know, I unpack all my stuff, get cleaned up, and then I need an hour or two to just, you know, sit and just like either read some fiction or play a video game or whatever, just decompress from everything. And then I come back into the world and hang out with people and have dinner, whatever. But yeah, so both of those.
I have one more. Educate myself.
Yeah.
All the time. Like I feel huge fan of Game of Thrones. But,
we know.
And I had all the audiobooks, right? It's like, I want to listen to them again, but I'm like, is that really responsible? Like, there's so much to learn out in the universe. I need to learn real things, true things. So every day at work, I'm looking at my podcast list or looking for a PDF that I can have my phone play in my ears while I'm at work.
Or recorded physics lectures.
Yeah. I mean, just educate myself, history, physics, chemistry, whatever, the sciences, you know, metaphysics, whatever, philosophy. So, yeah, that's been a great thing.
Yep.
Great habit.
If I were to ask your best friend, what is the one thing they would say you need to work on the most and why?
Don't be such a freaking skerptard. Like I'm really opinionated and I just will.
Skerptard, by the way, is our word for a skeptic who's retarded.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Like skerptard. I will just, you know, a lot of times they're like, hey, this idea. And I'm just like, no, you know, it could be days and I'll be like, oh man, you know, I was thinking about your idea and it's actually really good. And so they're like, how come you don't? And I do it over and over again. How come you don't really just think about it then? Just take some time to consider or change. You know, I don't know.
I don't know. I think quit smoking is probably what they would tell me to do. If that qualifies.
Tobacco, cigarettes.
Yeah. Stop smoking cigarettes. Yeah. I get that a lot and I should.
Could make it your daily ritual.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That one's going to be tough.
My daily ritual is to not do something.
Yeah. Hard.
What are you most curious about?
Human origins. That's in a nutshell. Like I've been fascinated. Well, okay. Mysteries in general, I am fascinated with. So I'll look at any mystery, you know. I've listened to a few true crime thingies, whatever. Those are cool. Those are all right. Sometimes they're really intriguing, but what I'm really interested in is the ancient mysteries and where the hell do we come from? How did we get here? How long has the journey been and what does it really look like? You know, I think there are so many stories, and I mean, as in story, like Kyle has a song called Where Do the Stories Lie? And that says it in a nutshell. It's like there are, you can think of enormous movements of populations around the world or armies, you know, people marching, doing this, like cataclysm happens and they're starving. They have to go and just no, we don't know any of that stuff. Those stories are untold. So when we go out into a canyon and you know, or whatever, and you see footprints of animals and they're fleeing, so, you know, they're stuck in the stone and you're like, this story hasn't been told, right? Here is a, these things were fleeing from some destruction or trying to get away or whatever. And here is all that's left. So that's for me, the thing that I focus on the most is like, what is really going on with us? What is the real story of human origins? So,
yeah, it's a big one for me, but I think it's physics. I'll just give a different one.
Yeah.
Cause I'm equally interested in that,
yeah.
But physics is a serious passion of mine.
He has his beloved materialist reductionist physics.
Yeah. I want to really know how it all works. And I like puzzles, right? I'm a puzzle person. If there's a technical problem, I want to know what's going on. Like, you know, so it's a different type of mystery. But yeah, that's, I think a lot of the standard model of physics is, well, it's incomplete. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
And everybody, every serious scientist who is also seeking to understand it, it will admit that, you know, we know so little. And so I think that's a great mystery that I would love to gain insight into and perhaps discover truths. So
yeah,
very curious.
Awesome. What was the most embarrassing or humiliating experience of your life?
Well, I mean, like, what kind of embarrassment or humiliation are we talking about? Because there was one, like, I've never forgotten this. I was pretty young. I guess I was 16 or 17. And I had, I was in DCI, Drum Corps International. I was a trumpet player, right? Played trumpet for a long time. And I was in DCI. And we were homeschooled. Both of us were homeschooled. So I didn't have a lot of experience in being in big marching bands. You know, I was one, didn't really know about that. Or just the whole sort of high school mentality of people being ridiculous. You know, I didn't have any experience with that. So we went to a park. I can't remember if it was maybe Stone Mountain National Park, something like that. We went to somewhere where there was, you know, standing in line waiting for rides or whatever. And I'm standing there in line just chilling. And some dude from, you know, that was in my corps came up behind me and freaking yanked my shorts down. And I was like commando that day. Oh, that was freaking embarrassing. And I've never forgotten it. So there you go.
Man, I don't know.
Can you top that one, buddy?
No, I can't. Like anything I can think of is like, I was so young that it just seems silly, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I was young.
I guess I can't think of it. I would say this would be more of a general sort of embarrassing thing. And that is like, if I get too fucked up on something, a drug or alcohol mainly.
Yeah.
And then the next day I'm always feeling humiliated. That's just general. So,
yeah.
Cause I started acting like, so in our podcast, it starts with episode 2. Because yep. Episode 1, like, I got hammered. And I'm like, I'm not publishing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to. And Russ is like, dude, it was fine. I'm like, no. That is humiliating to me. And I don't realize it when I'm doing it, which makes it worse.
It's a good story, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so, we actually tell people, we're like, people, you know, we're like, yeah, we're going to start a podcast. People are like, you won't publish the first episode. So we just started with episode 2.
Yeah.
That's the story we tell. But it's actually because Kyle got too hammered and don't publish that episode.
Yeah. And most, I would say even, you know, in my young high school days, like those embarrassing moments, like New Year's Eve party, my girlfriend, her parents, everybody are all at the house. I get hammered and climb up a ladder to look at the stars on top of a camper trailer and just pass out and nobody knows where I am. And so like I just wake up the next day and the whole party's over and I was like hammered right at the beginning and no one knew where I was. So I'm so embarrassed. You know?
Did you tell everybody where you were?
Well, yeah, I mean, eventually they all figured it out, you know, like he's hammered and passed out on top of that camper trailer. So.
What is your greatest fear and how did you overcome it?
Hmm. Wow, that's an assumption.
Yeah. It's okay if you didn't.
Yeah. I was like, who's to say I overcame it? Well, I think one of my greatest fears is failing the people that I love.
I was going to say,
And I do it all the time. Thing. And so I haven't overcome the fear, obviously, but I try, but it is failing the people that I love that pushes me to not be that guy as much as possible. And obviously I don't always make it, but that is mine.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
What quality do you most admire in a man and why?
I would say, respect.
Yep.
If they exhibit respect for others, that's a,
yeah.
I mean, I'm instantaneously like, good character.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with that.
Who were and are your role models and why?
Randall Carlson. Yep. Randall Carlson is definitely a role model.
Yeah.
I love the way he approaches the quest, the great quest, you know, to discover and seek the mysteries, and also the way he communicates them and presents them. You know, he does it in a way that isn't what's the word? It's not like, oh, I know this is the way it is.
No, yeah, he's humble about it.
Yeah.
And he accepts the idea that there's unsurety.
Yeah, he's not beholden to a truth. Right. He's willing to shift his yes. beliefs.
Right. Yeah, but he's always on a path of understanding, not no. He doesn't know. He's always trying to increase his understanding, but he doesn't, you know. Yeah.
What it can't be instead right. of what it can be.
Exactly. Yeah. And I would say, this is very cliche, but I would say another role model is my dad.
Yep.
Yeah. Like my dad has, you know, like specifically how he arranges his life. Mm-hmm. Like the guy is just like clockwork.
Yeah.
You know, everything is in its proper place. He's very organized. You know, I'm completely the opposite. So that's a big role
and
model.
And my mom is a great spiritual role model.
Yeah.
Like she taught me about having a soul.
Yeah.
And spirit. You know. She's a devout Catholic. And I'm not, but that doesn't matter.
Right.
I still practice these lessons she taught me as a child in how to pursue, you know, your inner self. So my dad was, like Russ was saying, is this person who has his life like under control and very organized and very, very respectful.
You know what I mean? He's like, he's got everything organized, but at the same time, he's not like authoritarian about it. He's not, you know, he's real easy to get along with. So those two qualities are rare.
Taught me to laugh at myself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
What institution of society or structural aspect of modern life would you change given the chance?
Academia.
Education. Amen, brother.
The education system is bad. you know, I'm like, this is a sort of a pithy way or a goofy way to put it, but like whoever thought it was a good idea to put the government in control of teaching children was retarded.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea.
That was a really bad idea.
Yeah. That was just not a good idea. So
was the question including society? Can you read,
I'll read
it again?
Yeah. What institution of society or structural aspect of modern life would you change given the chance?
Okay. Yeah. I agree with that. I was thinking, you know, if we could sort of branch that off into just like people's behavior, you know?
Well, behavior patterns can be institutionalized.
That's true.
Yeah. But that's more of a broader description of institution, I guess.
Yeah. Respect. That's all I'm going to say.
R.
You know?
E.
S. Q.
What?
What the f-
What is the most courageous thing you have ever done or seen in your life?
Done or seen? Okay. I'll just throw this one out there. I don't know if I would describe this as courageous, but I witnessed a pretty bad accident with a dump truck. And it was a school zone. So everyone had kind of slowed down and stopped. And there were like little kids coming across the road. So you had the woman with the stop sign and she's waving the kids across the road. And this dump truck with a full load comes barreling around the corner, sees all the stopped cars and fails to stop. And he hit the car behind me and the truck veered off. And of course the kids are all running and screaming and shit. You know, the car goes flying, the dump truck lays over on its side and slides and catches on fire. And I jumped out of my car and climbed up onto the thing and opened the door and helped get the driver out while it was on fire. So I thought that was pretty courageous, I guess. But at the time, I was just like, holy shit, that guy's going to burn to death. So, you know, if I was to look back and say something was courageous, that was something I'm proud of doing. I don't know if that's what you meant, but.
Yeah. Going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
So we got in a car accident.
Yeah.
We were hit head on by a drunk driver and broke Russ's back. And the doctor said he would never walk again. Well, I don't know how many days he'd been in the hospital, unable to get up. But I was staying, you know, nights. We'd bring what was that game system we were playing? Some RPG or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It was like trying to keep him entertained. You know, he's sitting in there just can't move. Well, one night he was just like, I got to take a shit.
Yeah.
And I want to go to the fucking bathroom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was like, and I'm like, well, what are we getting? He's like, I want to get up. And I was like, well, we'll call the nurse. No.
Yeah.
So I pulled all the stuff off of him and.
Yeah. Helped me out of the bed. And I stood up for the first time in like, I don't know how long, week and a half, 2 weeks. And I was like, oh my God, this is badass. And Kyle's like, everything okay? Yeah. And he helped me sort of move around.
Yeah.
And
we just like,
yeah.
Like,
so you're right. That was incredibly courageous on your part. Yeah.
No. And yours. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that was serious. Yep. Thanks, buddy.
Mm. No problem. And then we were like, you know, a couple years later, we're snowboarding again.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you ever go back to the doctor and be like, come on, man?
The doctors were great and they were amazed. But the thing is if you didn't have the courage and you just accepted your fate, quote unquote, where would you be?
Yeah.
You know, your muscles atrophy.
Yeah.
I mean, the longer you go without really taking that leap of, you know, courage or whatever, then the worse it's going to be. And he did it early on. I mean, his back was still healing from surgery. Yeah. They would not have, see, if we called the nurses in, they would have been like, hell no.
Right.
Yeah. Get down and.
Right. That's why I didn't want to call them because I knew they would say no. And I was like, I got to get out of this bed. And it was the middle of the night.
So you knew what was best for your body. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't sure, but I knew that I needed to get out of that fucking bed. Yeah. And I couldn't have done it without his help. So that was great. Yep.
What rule do you have for yourself that you never break? And why do you think that is important?
Never break. I break a lot of
my rules. Yeah, that's hard to say because I mean I have rules that I wish I never broke.
Mm.
You know. I mean there's general ones like they don't kill anyone. That's a big rule. I haven't broken that one yet. I don't know. That's
that's a difficult one.
Yeah.
The rules I wish I never broke were rules that I set for myself. Like when I'm trying to improve myself.
Yeah.
For example, very simple one, like stop smoking.
Yeah.
And then I follow that rule for a year and then break it. And then it's back to the, you know.
Starting over. Yeah.
But that's kind of not, I don't know. I'm not sure if that satisfies the question. We talked about this earlier, actually, but lying.
Mm.
Don't lie.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I break that rule. And I hate that.
Yeah.
So I really try not to break that rule. And I would say for the most part, I don't, but I have, and I probably will again. And I wish I wouldn't. So.
Yep. That's a good one.
Yeah, I agree. Well, guys, that's the end of the first 13 questions. So,
oh, wow.
It's not the end of the show.
Can we get a high five here?
Yeah. Can we get a high five?
So, yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Thanks, man. That was really great.
Yeah. That was cool.
Very introspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
My answers were better than yours.
Oh, yeah. Well, you did a good job.
Well, we got a bonus round coming up, so you might get spanked in this next one.
Oh, shit. Shouldn't have said anything.
All right. If you guys want to learn more about 13 Questions, you can go to 13questionspodcast.com. You can become a member. You get access to the premium feed. We've got over $200 in communication courses by TJ Walker. Everybody needs to work on their communication course, you know, or work today. We've also got prompted journaling writing. So if you want to sign up for that, you can have that emailed out to you daily or weekly, it is, you know, so you can do some self-improvement. Of course, we have the community forums and we've got these bonus questions coming right up.
All right.
All right, guys, you ready for the bonus?
Yeah, hit me with it.
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
Hit on me.
What would you tell your teenage self?
Stop being a fucking idiot.
I'm sorry. It's so true. Yeah, I, on a more serious note, go back to the education thing. I just didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, about educating myself. And I looked at school as that was all that was, you know. And I would tell myself, hey, you need to educate yourself.
Yeah. I think one of my biggest, if I could go back and tell my teenage self something, it would be like, remember I had that Air Force scholarship and I just didn't take it. Mm-hmm. Like a total dumbass. And basically, you know, I applied for it and got a 4-year full ride from the Air Force and I didn't take it, like a freaking moron. I wish I could change that. You know, I think about that quite often. So.
You would have to have joined the forces too?
Well, they would have paid for me. They basically said pretty much any college you want to go to, go, we'll pay for it. And then you join.
You serve time in the military. Yeah,
serve. And I didn't do it like an idiot. And if there's anything I could change, I think I would change that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's interesting because for me, I was going to join the military. I went to ROTC, so I'd get in as an officer and then have scholarship options.
Yeah.
And then my friend started coming back and said, the recruiter lied to me. We're not going to be doing this, you know?
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm like, oh, I'm out.
Right.
And so that was almost, for me, the reverse. That's a very interesting thing.
Well,
that,
yeah. So for me, it's like, I look at the military and I think, okay, obviously there's bad things about it. But all the things in my life that I'm now having to work really hard to self-improve, like that list I was talking about, they would have fixed it.
Right. You know?
I would be organized. I would be on time. I would know how to do all that stuff. I would be like, you know, sort of, I don't know. Maybe not. Not everybody ends up that way.
You would have had to have been for 4 years.
Right. And it would have taught me a sort of self-discipline that I just don't have. And like, you know, and plus the college, like I could have gone and it would have been paid for. And I don't know. And then, of course, there's the service, and it's Air Force.
But see, if you had been doing that, though, you might be on the other side of anthropology, you know, following the bookend instead of coming to the conclusion that, hey, you as a normal person and not an autodactyte can go out and learn and connect things in ways that specialists can't because they're so focused in their area. They're so focused on their, you know, that you go, hey, you know, look at this. You got a cataclysm.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a flood.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a really difficult question because you don't know what you would be if you'd have changed those things.
Right.
And I personally, I am happy with who I am today, even though I look in my past and say, I have made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, it's always this path of self-improvement. So had I taken a different path, would I have appreciated the things that I appreciate today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know. And so it's difficult to say, but I think in general, if myself in high school thought, hey, like, you know, there's another way to learn about the universe and the world that we live in that I'll become extremely passionate about, you know, if I'd have started this journey earlier,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would be cool, but it's not so much a regret. It's just like, you know.
You wish you could go back in time and give yourself a reading list.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Stop being a scriptard.
Yeah. I'm still doing it. Right?
Go to the library. Yeah. Do you have stop being a scriptard? What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Hardship.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I'm a musician. I write. I'm a lyricist. And my friend used to joke that all my songs were, quote unquote, capitalizing on your misery. And it's true. Well, to a certain extent, I'm not actually capitalizing on the music in an economic sense. But it is, I've learned over the years that that is, these periods in my life where things are really difficult and there's a lot of emotional turmoil or something going on results in what I consider great art. And it's an outlet for me to help. It helps me resolve the issues. It helps me get mentally right with the situation. It's a way of expressing myself that to me is beautiful. So you can turn these negative emotions, these horrible feelings into some beautiful work of art. And that's, yeah. So, yeah.
For me, it goes back to the mysteries. Like what really gets my gears turning, what really gets me like where I can dive into something and just, and not emerge for 24 hours straight is mm-hmm. when I find some mystery and I'm just like, holy shit, what is going on here? And I'll just like dive into it and I won't even notice the time passing, you know? And that's my creative outlet recently. I've done creative things, you know, we play music. I've also drawn, you know, sketching and artistry and stuff. I've tried comic book stuff. But what really gets me going these days is the mysteries. So.
What is your single greatest driving force in life? And what do you do to try to further it?
For me, it's become something like legacy. So I would like to be able to leave something behind for humanity, for my progeny or whatever, you know, my kids.
Vis-a-vis my progeny.
Vis-a-vis my progeny. I don't know how many kids I'm going to have, but if whatever, or even... It doesn't matter who. I want it to be worthwhile. So whether it's my art, you know, the music that I make, it needs to be. And my mom used to always preach to me about, you know, what's the message in your music? Like, what are you? You know, I might be writing lyrics just about some mundane problem I'm having in a relationship with a girlfriend, which is fine. It's a way to deal with stuff at the time. But I've realized that, like, you know, it needs to be something more than that. She was right. The message needs to be something timeless. And I'm not sure how to do that, but that is a goal to learn how to do, you know, what the ancients did with their art and with their messages. They made them timeless and people are still telling those stories today. So, you know, I'm interested in that. I want to learn more about that. And I wanted to sort of put a modern iteration on it with my art. And also just for my pass on what I have learned to my kids.
Yeah. So. For me, it's I want to go to these places that I've been reading about and studying. Right. So, you know, I mean, we've got family and you've got work and you've got basic life. But like aside from all that, what drives me right now, and this includes with the podcast, with all the research we do, with being here in the first place.
Yeah.
Is about getting to these places and being able to be there. And study them, you know.
And be part of the conversation.
And be part of the conversation mm-hmm. overall, like with people like you guys, Randall Carlson, Grammerica, and be in that conversation and also go to the places and experience them for myself.
And it's amazing how when you get groups together like this, how many people have different pieces of information and things yes. you didn't realize. And you're like, oh, well, that's a connection I need to look into because, you know, especially in today's age, you know,
absolutely.
You can't absorb it all on your own. And people right. have found those little corners that you didn't get to yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. A new goal that's been forming is to do this
yeah.
more.
Mm-hmm. Right. Even if we're setting them up ourselves, like yeah. do this more often, get people together and go to look at cool places, you know? Yeah. We call that our pyramid scheme. Yeah. It's the scheme to get us straight to pyramids.
What do you most often choose to ignore?
bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Drama, gossip.
Yeah, we do a lot of ignoring of that.
Gossip
stuff
is like the most poisonous thing for relationships and people and friendships, yep, and everything. I have, as long as I can remember in my friendships, done my best to ignore that shit.
Yep.
It is just.
And also the stuff that happens inside my own mind regarding that kind of thing.
Bingo.
Right. So I'm always like, you get these ideas like, well, what if this person is thinking this about me? Or what if I ignore that shit? And see, and you're always focusing on that, like that you don't know that's really happening. You're making that up. Stop thinking about it. Ignore it. So,
yep. And that's
an ongoing
process.
That
goes back to like the first question or whatever.
Yeah.
What he helped me with. Same idea.
To what faults do you find yourself most indulgent?
Sitting around playing video games.
Self-indulgence.
Yeah, self-indulgence, exactly. Yeah, I have a serious tendency to procrastinate and be lazy. And, you know, that's a constant struggle. So
yeah.
I know, and it's crazy because I know that if I just sat down and did the work, or maybe just split it up and did a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow, that it would be badass. And
it would even be more awesome.
Right. But instead, I'm like, well, you know, I need to beat right this now. Level. And to try to find open this tomb or whatever, playing Tomb Raider. And you know, just like, and I know, and I'll wait till the last minute and then I'm cramming to do it and it's stressful and it's stupid. And I keep doing it. So that's one of my worst problems for sure.
What do you hope people will say at your funeral?
He went to pyramids. He went straight to pyramids.
Man.
I hope they party,
yeah,
and have a great time and celebrate. I don't know. That's a difficult one, man. I want to be loved by those that I love.
Yeah.
So I hope they express that.
Yep. I think that, I don't know what would people say at your funeral, but it would be great if people were like, it was fun talking to that guy, you know. He always had something fun and interesting to say about pyramids. Like,
you know? That's a nice thing to yeah. say. Yeah.
I think one of the things I most that I like about my interaction with just our big group of friends or whatever is that I feel like whenever I go somewhere where they're partying or whatever, people come up to me and they want like, what are you looking at? You know, what mysteries? What?
Yeah.
That's great. That just is so fulfilling for me. So hopefully at my funeral, they're like, dude, that guy always had something cool to talk about at the party, right? You know, just he had something weird that he'd bring up and we're all like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, that's so.
That's a great thing.
All right, last question.
Okay.
What is your favorite virtue?
What are the virtues? I'm joking.
Yeah.
Like, can you list some for me so I can figure out?
I'm thinking here. I mean, I've talked about respect.
Yeah.
That can be a virtue.
That's the first one that came to mind.
But if it's not a virtue, courage, I would say, is a virtue. And that's when I see people like John Adams, for example, that's amazing courage from that person. So
yeah. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. Courage, honesty.
Yeah.
You know, just,
that's a good one.
Yeah. That's my big one.
Honesty.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah. Some people are really good at seeming honest,
but
not though.
Yeah. Okay. But see, honesty, I'd say is really good on a personal level, but it can't alone, free people, free entire societies. And I think courage is the thing that can do that.
Yeah.
So that is,
I agree with that. Yeah. Courage is a good one. Yep.
And you can be a conspirator and lie to all kinds of people. But you have the courage to set, you know, to do what, you know, the founding fathers did.
Right. So in that case, that it's the intentions that are honest, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a combination of both.
Right.
They were lying to tyrants.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough one because if everybody was honest and didn't try to spread lies or trick people, then
the tyrants would win all the time.
Yeah. But no, but even them, that's what I mean. If there was something about just the aspect of humanity where you didn't have that negative part that.
Right.
And that's where I always think.
So if tyrants were honest, maybe they would never gain power.
Even, it's not necessarily like,
that's
look,
interesting.
You're going to have a belief and I'm going to have a belief and we could be diametrically opposed and wrong on them, but we're not trying to make things up to trick each other.
Okay.
And that's when I get to like science, you know, I'd love to trust all of science, but there's the funding and the research and having to get grants. And when you start stacking up all that on top and the faking, well, it's real hard. But if you didn't have that, like how powerful, where would we go if we didn't have these little games that we play for power in the background and just focused on, like you said, like self-improvement. Yeah. Like just
if all you had to do is look at the data and be like, well, I think he's wrong. But you're not also wondering, are they doing this on purpose? Is there some other agenda? Like that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So I would point this out though. If we could take a virtue and make a sort of utopian world based on that virtue, like honesty, we wouldn't need courage so much. That's, it wouldn't be so paramount, but because we can't do that.
Yeah.
And people are going to be dishonest, including tyrants.
You have to be courageous.
You need courage
to
live in that world. To make that world a better place.
Well, that's even great because if everybody has courage, then you outnumber the cowards that are ruling you because they want to hold that power.
Yep.
Right. So yeah.
It's
interesting.
Yeah, the courage of the few outweighs the cowardice of the many.
Yeah, we could take other virtues probably and put them in the same. If the whole world was this way, we wouldn't need all of this other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
That is.
You get a more complex world with more emotions and feelings and interactions.
Yeah.
I'm going to be thinking about that more later. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is.
All right, guys. Well, that was the end of the bonus round for 13 questions. So.
All right.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Dude, that was really cool. It did bring up a lot of stuff that I haven't thought of in a long time. And, I don't know. It's sort of like there's a clarifying effect. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated this. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Same here.
Yep.
Thanks a lot. We've been thinking about pyramids too much. You know, we need to think more about some of these deeper questions.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of philosophizing on the old brothers and servants.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, this will be cool for you guys because one of the things I love about this is, you know, for our audience and everything else, you know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting interview, but for the people that listen to you all the time, every day,
This
is like an even a greater aspect. You know, you get to hear like, oh, whoa, that's really interesting.
Cool.
You know, I didn't know they had that, you know, connection with their dad, because why would you be talking about that when you're talking about a serpent mound?
Right. Yeah. I didn't know he had gotten his pants yanked off at a park.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
His greatest act of courage was when he had to take a dump.
Yep.
Life is funny.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, thank you guys for
thank
joining
you so much.
Questions.
Thanks a lot.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you. I don't want no whole world night. I don't want no whole world night. No, what? I don't want the whole world night. I don't want the whole world night. Yo, what? I don't want the whole world night. I don't want the whole world night. Yo, what? I don't want the whole world night. I don't want the whole world night. Yo, what? I don't want the whole world night. I don't want the whole world night. Yo, what? I don't want the whole world night. I don't want the whole world night. Yo, what?
And another man poor. Why we ain't satisfied? Why we gotta have more? Why your suicide rates on the rest so high? Why I tell you the truth but you say don't lie? Why is being a good father at an all-time low? Why is it acceptable? Yo, why? I don't know. Why she blame him and he blame her? It's useless. Ask yourself this question. Why you making excuses? Why do parents gotta bury their kids? Why we text and drive, not caring how scary it is? Why it's so hard to forgive and leave the past behind? And if you did, then that's divine. Why don't you help your brother when you see him fall? Why do we act like God don't see it all? Why do we call them black, them white, them Asians and use labels? Now that's racism.
I don't want no whole world night.
Why?
I don't want no whole world night. Yo, why? I don't want no whole world night.
Why?
I don't want no whole world night. Yo, why? I don't want no whole world night.
While some people can't say nothing nice, why do we always gotta question what all of it means? And why won't you follow your dreams? Tell me why, the night when you took my dad, why'd you let me see my grandpa cry? And tell me why, and why do you choose to hide, even though you was born to fly? And tell me why, and why don't we turn from all the hate? And why don't we learn from all mistakes? Why do I keep on wrecking these fat beats, and teachers don't make more than professional athletes? And why?
This should be considered entertainment and not therapy. We hope you benefit from our resources available at 13questionspodcast.com. Thank you for listening.